Welcome to the Lady Up America podcast. I'm Diane Canada, your host. I'm so glad you're here today. Thanks for tuning in. It's Wednesday, November 29th. And y'all, we've got the big lighting of the tree at Rockefeller Center tonight. Let's get right to the news.
Founder of Lady Up America.
All right, this is an American tradition as far back as I can remember. It's the lighting of the tree in Rockefeller Center in the middle of New York. There's always been a big party around this, but it looks like tonight we're going to have some party crashers. We've got pro-Palestinian protesters, say that three times fast in a row, that are planning to come and just throw a big wrench in the festivities. New York PD is, they're ramping up their security. Everybody's kind of bracing for the attack. I mean, what the heck? This is a very special Christmas tradition that we've enjoyed in America. It's like nothing is sacred anymore. They just crash everything. And I think a lot of us Christians, we're just really getting tired of it. How tired of it are we though? I got to tell you, because we don't seem to be tired enough. They have no problem out there marching and making their voices heard while we just kind of sit back and let them. You know, we sit in our warm houses, our toasty houses, again, me included, not calling you out, I'm saying we, and we're just laying down and letting a lot of this happen. Not all of us, but a lot of us are. You know, in America, we have just as much right to celebrate the things that are near and dear to us, to speak up, to speak truth, to take a stand. We have just as much right as anyone else does to do that. And yet we're shrinking back. We're talking about how frustrated we are with it in our homes and among our friend groups, but we're really not doing that much. And I think a lot of us don't know what to do, right? And that's what this podcast is all about. It's trying to give us the how. Because, you know, most of us don't want to go out in the street and conduct a protest. I don't. It's cold. You know, we don't want to go out there and march around with signs. And I mean, I don't think that's the way. What they're doing is they're making a public display of what they believe, and they're trying to put pressure and tension into the atmosphere to push back what those of us who do believe differently. And they're trying to silence us with their, you know, with that show of might. But here's the deal. We have so much power. Because we are on the side of truth here in our country. Our country was founded in Christian values. We've got so much power just in our sphere of influence. You don't necessarily, unless God calls you to, you don't necessarily have to leave your house. You don't have to go march and protest to get your point across, to take a stand for God. So that's what I want to get some clarity around today. Let's just talk about that. Let's talk about what that would look like at the practical level. You know, when I ran for office a few years ago, prior to that, I had no political background at all. I think it's been about 5 years now, because I started studying and preparing about a year before my race. So that would have been in 2019. Yeah, we're coming up on 2024. So about 5 years now that I've been really in the trenches and digging down and learning. And I've participated in some protests. I have been, you know, around a lot of activist groups and all of that. And so I say nothing negative about how people choose to demonstrate what they believe. That's a free right here in America. But what I found for me is it just didn't seem to be the most graceful way to do it. And it didn't seem to be the most effective way. I stood on the street corners when they were trying to defund the police, and I held up signs, you know, protesting that, you know, but it just didn't seem to really move the needle. So I started going into this kind of tunnel the last couple of years, as a lot of you know, in building Lady Up America, the techniques and all behind this, like what would move the needle? What would help? And so what I found is that women in particular have so much influence. Like my nanny used to say, you know, the man is the head of the household, but the woman turns his neck, right? We have so much influence in our households, in our communities. Women really do rule the world in a lot of ways when it comes to our ability to influence. I think men should be head of the households. I think men should be the ultimate decision makers when they are godly men and they are honoring their families and doing what God calls them to do with that. But women should exert that influence because it's a gift that God gave us, that emotional intelligence that we have. So what I have found is that when we learn how to influence from a genuine place and from a place of strength, from a place of clarity, then we can be so much more effective than anything we could do out on the streets. Culture always precedes politics. And what we've got to focus on right now, yes, we need to be showing up for the next election. And yes, we're going to be very active in 2024, trying to get people to the polls and all of that. But really, the next election is not what's going to solve this. What we've got to do is we've got to change the culture. And the way I always kind of work backward. Like, what do we ultimately want? We ultimately want our country restored, right? So we need to put great people in office. But I always work backward from there. And it comes all the way down to our kitchen table. Like, what are we saying and doing in our own friend groups? Are we shrinking back or are we stepping up and making statements? And a lot of us are not even doing that as women because we are just programmed for consensus and community. We women, we love to congregate. We love to be a part of something. We don't want to be ostracized from the group. And so a lot of us will just choose to not say anything rather than risk being ostracized. So these are the things that I started really discovering when God really called me into this work, and I've been really trying to kind of crack the code on what's it going to take to win our culture back. So women are key. We have the highest levels of emotional intelligence. We have tremendous ability to influence. It can be used for good or bad, right? So when we're using it for good, and we're in our Bibles and we're coming from a place of genuine influence, then we have the power to turn our culture back to God so that then he can heal our land. And then you'll start seeing that show up in the political realm, on these city streets, all of that. But right now, you know, I think we're seeing a little bit of a turn of the tide. I think, again, a lot of us are tired of it. A lot of us are starting to get a little moral courage and stepping up and saying, no, this is not okay anymore. We are starting to see that. I think when you start to get a little angry, that helps, but it's got to be a righteous anger, and we've got to know where to channel it. We've got to know how to channel it properly so that we actually influence and we don't repel people with our anger or with our frustration. So in our friend groups and in our community groups, even in our own households, we first need to think about what it takes to take a stand. Like what do we need as women in order to feel comfortable to take that stand? And this is a lot of what we talk about here on this show, is like what has to kind of precede that stand. And I think, like we've talked about, one, we've got to be in obedience to God. You know, we've got to have a heart. Our heart has to be right toward him in our Bibles, you know, walking out our faith and understanding that we're under grace. All those things that I've been talking about this week, all of that is important. But we also need to have a pretty basic, at least, understanding of what the issues are. So when we look at this pro-Palestinian, all these pro-Palestinian groups that are kind of rising up all over our country and, you know, trying to party crash our tree lightings, and really what that is we've talked about it. It's a fight between good and evil. It's the enemy trying to shut down anything that Christians do to display their faith. This is really what it is. It's a battle between good and evil. We know that. So we have to fight with spiritual weapons, but we have to understand that that's what we're dealing with. That's our real enemy. The enemy is not these kids who are just, you know, parroting the narrative and following blindly. And, the enemy is Satan trying to take over the hearts and minds of the people in our culture and make us Christians fearful to take a stand for God. And I was thinking about this, you know, in Jesus's day, You know, Jesus did not deliver the disciples or his people from the totalitarian government of Rome. He did not, you know, kind of put those people in their place or take those regimes down. He didn't do that. And that's what a lot of the people were waiting on. A lot of the Jewish people were waiting on a Messiah that was going to make things right in the world politically for them and culturally and all these things. He was trying to, a lot of people thought that he was going to come in and he was just going to sort of, you know, wipe everybody out that was oppressive and mean and, you know, cruel and all these things. And he was going to establish a kingdom here on earth. That was the hope and that was the ideal. But Jesus didn't do that. He talked about all the time about how his kingdom to come. He was talking about how he was king of a different kingdom. And I've been doing a lot of studying around this lately and thinking about it and how does it apply to our culture today? And what I have learned is that we can be in the storm, like this political storm, this cultural storm, whatever it is, but the storm doesn't have to be in us. I saw that quote one time and it really resonated with me. Like, God's goal is not to get us, it's not to bring a peaceful world. He said on this earth, we would have trials and tribulations and sorrows and all these, like, this is part of the deal when we live in this earth. So he's not going to take all that away until he comes back for the church and then unleashes his wrath on this earth. And then the earth is going to be obliterated. And then he's going to start over. He is going to build a new kingdom here. We're going to return with him and we're going to rule with him here for 1,000 years. And I love that part of the Bible. So eventually he's going to clean it up. But until the rapture happens, we're kind of stuck with what we got here. So you're going to have wars and rumors of wars, and you're going to have people hurting each other. We're in a fallen world. We're going to have all that. So if we're waiting for some big deliverance where all that's going to settle down, you're going to be waiting along. Like, it's not coming. There's no cavalry coming out of Washington. There is no cavalry coming out of Washington. We are the church. We are the cavalry. God's waiting on us Christians to take our stand and to stand up and take that stand in the midst of the storm. So that peace that's required on the inside for us, whether we're in a friend group, at our kitchen table, whatever it is, we first need to understand the real enemy we're dealing with. It's Satan. It's not whatever the news is of the day, whoever's behind it. That's not our enemy. Our enemy is Satan. He's trying to shut you up. He's trying to get you to shrink back and not take a stand for God. So we've got to first understand who our enemy is. And then we come at it from that spiritual place of strength, God in us. God, we ask him, God, give me the words. You don't have to figure out what to say. All you have to do is stop for a second, whatever room you're in, and just stop for a second and just, even if you can't close your eyes, even if you can't make it obvious that you're praying this, just, you can be sitting and smiling at someone and underneath your breath going, God, give me the words, you know, just not even moving your mouth, but you can be speaking that in your heart to him, but you're taking that time out for just a second to ask him to put the words in your mouth. And that's the beauty. That's what happens. Then he gives us that wisdom. He speaks through us. And the most eloquent things come out. You would be amazed at what will come out when you yield to him and you ask him to show up in that conversation. He'll tell us sometimes to speak, and then other times he tells us not to. Sometimes he wants us to be very assertive, and other times he wants us to kind of hold our tongue. And that's the wisdom I'm talking about. I think that you have to have that discernment in whatever room you're in. I think you need to take a stand for Jesus, but it needs to be the right time. It needs to be the right words, and that only he can give us that. You know, none of us can walk around with you all day long and interpret that for you, but you have a direct line to Jesus, to the Holy Spirit. That's what he's here to do, is to guide us and prompt us and give us that wisdom. So it's not anything you have to figure out on your own. But if we would do that more, start taking a stand in our households and in our workplaces and in our communities, don't let them intimidate you into saying, you don't get to speak, have a voice here. You don't need to speak about Jesus here. You don't need to bring Christ up here. You know, says who? God knows they're pushing their religion on us every day. So who says we can't? We are not forbidden to talk about God in the public square of our country that was founded on him. And if you want to dig deeper into that, in the Lady Up America app, I have a whole class in there on how to prove that, we were indeed founded on Christian principles, that there is no such thing as separation between church and state. There's no such thing as that. That was a letter that was taken out of context, a statement in a letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote to the Danbury Church, basically saying government won't mess with your church. But in no way, shape, or form does it say that we as people, citizens of this country, are not allowed to bring our faith into the public square, into political circles. In fact, our founding father said that if we don't have a religious and a moral society, we don't have a sustainable republic. So I've got a whole class in there on that. I recommend download the Lady Up America app and get in there and learn that, because and that whole lesson is free. All right. So go in there and learn that. If you need a little backup, you need a little more, you know, proof. But we absolutely do need to use our wisdom first and then use our voices to start speaking and pushing this back. So when it comes to tree lighting in Rockefeller Center, we absolutely have every right to do that. We absolutely have every right in our homes, in our workplaces, wherever it is, to speak our faith. I don't think we need to be, you know, pushy about it. God doesn't even tell us to do that. I don't think we need to be trying to push our religion, our thoughts on other people. It's not about that. Again, I teach you in the app how to attract people to it. You don't need to be pushy. You don't need to be trying to push it. But I'll tell you this, they're certainly pushing their religion and their ideologies on us. So somehow we've got this backwards. Somehow we think that we're not allowed to even so much as, you know, whisper about the Lord anymore, but yet they're able to cram their religions and their ideologies right down our throat and, by God, shame us into saying anything about it. Enough, enough. So that's my soapbox today. We've got to speak up. And I'll tell you, if we're waiting for the storm to pass, it's not going to pass. Y'all, God said this world's going to get worse before he comes back. There's no election that's going to save it. There's no, you go look in a mirror right now. You got a mirror, just look, hold up a mirror. We are the church. You, me, we are the church. We are God's ambassadors. We are the ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We're the modern day disciples. God said, go and tell everyone the good news. We've got to be living our life in such a way that we attract people to want to hear about it. But we do not need to lay down and take this, not by any stretch. Would it cost you something to say something? Maybe. Yeah, maybe. It's cost me a lot. It's cost a lot of people I know a lot. But you know what? That's what Jesus requires. We're too comfortable. I heard a song years ago called Victims of Comfort by Keb Moe. And it's so, so spot on. We are just too lazy and comfortable. But we got to get over it, y'all. We got to lady up. And I want to leave you with this, because if you need motivation on why you need to do that, like a lot of you are probably saying, well, why should I, you know, why should I speak up? Why should I say anything? Why should I risk this? Why should I? Okay. Because Jesus loves you. He loves you so much. And he loves these people that are so lost. If he can love the very people that were nailing him to that cross, we can learn to love these people, and love is what's going to win them. I'm not saying we condone what they're doing. I'm not saying that there aren't consequences for what they're doing. There should be, absolutely. But love is what's going to win them. And if we want our country back, if we want our culture back, then we've got to stand up to this evil, push it back. But we've also got to attract people to something better, a better religion, a better idea. I mean, there's only one true religion, and that is Jesus Christ. A lot of people have said to me over the years, Diane, there's got to be more than one way to heaven. There's got to be. And I'm like, nope, but I'm so glad there's one. There didn't have to be one, but I'm so glad there's one, and his name is Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through him. He is the gateway, but he's the only gateway. And so a lot of people, you know, that give you a hard time about that, you just got to be willing to make those statements for him. And you know what? He loved you so much. Oh my gosh, he loves you so much. And I want to leave you with this. I know I keep saying it. I want to leave you with this. This is going to be my parting prayer to you today. It's going to be a little bit different. I'm going to sing this to you today because I want you to listen to this song that you've probably heard before, but I want you to listen to it as if Jesus is singing it to you. If you need motivation on why you should take a stand for him, just think about the lyrics of this song and understand the stand he took for you to redeem you. He left the throne room of heaven to come down here after us because he loved us so much. And when I asked him today, I was praying and I said, what do you want him to know today, Lord? And he just says, he wants you to know he loves you. That's all he wants you to know today. He loves you. So this will be my parting prayer for you today. And think about in the chorus of this, I want you to think about him crawling through the city on his way to Golgotha with the cross on his back. I want you to think about that scene in your mind when I get to the chorus. All right. I love you so much. I'll see you tomorrow. And this is my parting prayer for you today.
When the rain is blowing in your face and the whole world is on your case, I would offer you a warm embrace to make you feel my love. The evening shadows and the stars appear. There is no one to dry your tears. I could hold you for a million years to make you feel my love. I know you haven't made your mind up yet, but I would never do you wrong. I've known it from the moment that we met. There's no doubt in my mind where you belong. I'd go hungry, I'd go black and blue. I'd go crawling down the avenue. There ain't nothing that I wouldn't do to make you feel my love. Storms are raging on a rolling sea, down that highway of regret. The winds of change are blowing wild and free. You ain't seen nothing like me yet. There ain't nothing that I wouldn't do. Go to the ends of the earth for you. I'd make you happy, make your dreams come true, to make you feel my love.